In this Climate Gen episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Nathalie Hilmy at the Centre Scientifique in Monaco about the need to invest in research, restoration and regeneration of the world's oceans. By protecting and restoring ocean ecosystems, we can start to create resilience in an area we know is in decline and yet we know so little about. We have much of the technology and we have the intelligence, but we still lack political will and the investment to protect the world's fast declining ecosystems that our lives are codependent upon. In the next pre-COP episode, I'm also speaking with Professor Jason Box to highlight his new work around the zombie ice on Greenland's ice sheet that is already committed to rising global sea levels this century and is not included in any of the climate models that we depend on for policy making. I'll be catching up with both Nathalie and Jason, among many others, during week 2 at COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh. This is being dubbed the African COP, to draw attention to the world's most vulnerable societies in the global south. We are striving to for a global loss and damage fund that even you and I may be in need of in the rapidly advancing onset of extreme climate impacts. Thanks for listening. You can support my work via Patreon and on GenCC. Please do subscribe and leave feedback on any of the channels where you listen and watch this content. Nathalie, the heat waves in 2022 have largely drawn attention to the atmospheric and land surface temperatures, but sea surface temperatures in places like the Mediterranean have been very high too. Can you tell us what impact this has had on heated areas?
Yes, in fact, climate change is everywhere. And the Mediterranean is a hotspot of biodiversity. So the impact of the heat waves have been devastating in the Mediterranean. And many ecosystems have been threatened by those heat waves. If we consider that the heat waves in the Mediterranean is affecting, for example, corals and seagrass and other cnidarians, this is very difficult to understand, and the impact will be very, very high.
These anomalies this year have been very high. If that continues, what would be the impact on this sort of region?
It will happen like in Australia, the Great Barrier is bleaching. So if the heat waves became the norm in the Mediterranean, we can imagine that many ecosystems will be impacted.
Okay. How resilient are marine ecosystems to this kind of warming?
In fact, the heat waves are causing massive mortality of ecosystems. And the resiliency of those ecosystems is not proven. So what is happening now that they will be impacted, some of them will disappear, and some of them will increase, like algal bloom. And this is very bad for the Mediterranean ecosystems.
As the atmospheric temperatures rise, is there a threshold that you think we might see the accelerated and expanded ecosystem collapse?
In fact, the frequency, intensity and the incidence of the heat waves will determine the consequences.
We're hearing a lot about blue carbon with regard to ocean regeneration and protection. Can you give us a brief definition of what we mean by blue carbon?
Yes, so blue carbon is a carbon captured by the vegetated coastal ecosystems like salt marshes, seagrass and mangroves, but also what is sequestered in the open ocean from the surface to the deep sea.
Are we doing enough at the moment in terms of building resilience and conservation of existing marine ecosystems?
Obviously not. What is really missing is the political will and the sense of urgency. And this is really missing. We have the valuation. We know that blue carbon is important. We have the regulation. Everything is here. We have the technology. What is missing is the really sense of urgency. It is urgent to do something.
Okay, and given that the oceans cover 70% of the planet and it's a complex, largely undiscovered territory, from your experience, what should we do next in terms of our efforts to protect the oceans?
We need the finance. You know, if we can have marine protected areas. But if we don't have the finance, there is something missing. And to have the finance, we have the Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, which has been ratified in Glasgow, the last COP, the COP26. And now what is missing is the real will, the political will to do something.
And let's say we protect large parts of the ocean. Even if we do that and the actual climate is changing, then we still have changes going on within those ecosystems. Are you saying that we need to be able to understand more what's going on before we can start trying to protect them further?
The deep sea is not well known. And we know that the carbon is sequestered in the deep sea. If we go and explore and extract the minerals and the fossil fuel, which is in the deep sea, we are disturbing those ecosystems and we don't know what is happening. So we need more science to take the decision.
Okay, so extracting from the deep sea is stupid. My word, not yours. But if we actually research this and we know that this is a massive store of carbon, do you think that there's a huge role for the oceans to play in actually bringing down atmospheric concentrations from where they are at the moment?
Yes, what we know, the ocean already moderates global warming by absorbing 93% of the excess heat and 26% of the excess CO2 from the atmosphere. And this is more sequestered in the deep sea.
Yeah.
And we need to know what is going on before going and exploring what is in the deep sea.
Okay. And you're going to be at COP27. Do you feel energized and hopeful when you've been at COP26 and you see these things emerging? Do you see progress being made?
Yes, the progress is here. What is interesting is the COP27 is in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, which is a developing country. So you know that one important concept is climate justice. And we need now to develop financial tools to have the money coming from developed countries to the developing world to help them to adapt and to mitigate climate change.
Okay, so this is a massive issue, and I know this is going to be prevalent at COP27, this climate justice issue. Are you saying that we need specific funds going into the ocean research and protection?
Yes, maybe we need to create a sovereign wealth fund and to protect the ocean. And this fund will serve to protect, restore and regenerate the ocean ecosystems.
And is that something that's being talked about here at this research center?
This is a new idea that we are trying to promote in this center.
Okay, and where is it at the moment? Have you got a plan? Is there any funds in there at the moment?
Not really. For the moment, it's still a research idea that we are trying to push into the politics.
Okay, and is this something you'll be doing at COP27?
Yes, I will be there on the Pavilion Science with IPCC and the Foundation Mary. And I hope we can propose something to be acceptable.
Do you think there is a case for creating blue carbon markets and that these could be accurately accounted for in terms of, you know, whether the on land carbon is susceptible to burning or collapse or whatever?
We have the valuation. We can already know how much the mangroves, for example, are sequestering. And we can put a value, a monetary value on it. So it can go to the market. The markets are here. And the regulation is here because the mangroves are on the land and we know they are owned by the different islands, the different coastal governments, etc. So this is really possible. Now what we need is that the government decide to push this idea and to develop the blue carbon markets.
Is that something that's being done through the UN or through another body?
It can be done by other bodies, I think. The private sector is very important here too. The financial markets and the companies, not only the UN or the governments. Everybody should be involved. And even you and I, we can go and invest in those funds and buy markets and credit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of the mechanism for getting it started when you're working across borders. It yes. sounds quite complicated.
What we need is a collaboration at national, regional, international levels. This is something lacking.
And it's a collaboration between which partners? You're saying public, private sector?
Yes, exactly. A kind of partnership between okay. the private and public sectors.
Okay. We're seeing a rapid uptick in concurrent and consecutive climate impacts around the world in the marine and blue carbon space. Can you outline your top priorities that would help us sustain healthy marine ecosystems and hopefully stimulate them as carbon sinks?
Yes, we know from the last IPCC special report, the special report on the ocean and the cryosphere, that over the past 200 years, the ocean has taken up 500 gigatons of CO2 from the atmosphere out of 1,300 of the CO2 total emissions, you know, anthropogenic emissions. And this is very important. So we know that the ocean is very important. The marine ecosystems are very important. Now, my objective is to prove that they have a monetary value. And this is why when we consider their ecosystem services, we tell the policymakers that those ecosystems have a value, and we can protect them, and the regeneration of those ecosystems will help us to protect our climate.
So you see this as a sort of a paradigm that we're moving into, but we're not moving fast enough, obviously. And once we do get into it, it'll become a part of the economy.
Yes, there is a really a paradigm shift. We have to protect the nature, and the nature will protect us. So this is something very important. We cannot consider the economy without the nature. So this is something now understood. And we have to transform our way of thinking. And if we as citizens already transform, I think we can push the policymakers to transform their vision too.
Okay. And you said that out of 1.3 trillion tons of emissions, the oceans have sequestered 500 billion tons. And how stable are these carbon sinks? Are they declining? Are we at risk of overstretching them and breaking them down? Or are they quite resilient and we've still got a long way to go?
Yeah, the difference with the forest, when the carbon is sequestered in the ocean, it's for millennia. In the forest, it's for hundreds of years. So in the ocean, it's more stable, but we have to protect those ecosystems.
The sequestration is when it's locked up at the bottom,
yes.
but the ecosystem is the mechanism that does the locking up. And that's very important for
exactly.
people to understand, I think.
Exactly. If we want, you know, to make those ecosystems more resilient, we can also help the local communities and the indigenous people, because we can move the money that we have from the carbon markets and we give them to those people for their livelihood. And this is very important too.
Okay. And if we zoom in on one of these kinds of ideas, I know that you're doing a project with Chile that involves whales. Is this something like one small part of a big jigsaw of projects? Could you talk a little bit about that and how it works?
Yes, the Foundation Mary with the Ministry of Environment in Chile, I have a project, a very important project called the Blue Boat Initiative. And they are putting buoys in the Gulf of Corcovado to protect the whales. So the boats are not going to hit the whales. They know that the whales are here, and they will maybe change their way, and they will navigate differently.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the ecosystem services that corals provide, because you've got a fantastic research laboratory here with corals.
Yes, the Monaco Research Center is working on the corals and the coral reefs. And in my section, I'm studying their ecosystem services. For example, corals are very important for the fisheries. And this is important, as you know, for the food security. And also, thanks to the corals, the tourists come to the country. They have their monetary currencies. And it is very useful for the countries. And then it's also important for the coastal protection, because when you have the corals, the coral reefs, and they protect from the waves, from the wind, etc., and the coast are protected from the erosion.
Okay. And we hear a lot about the Great Barrier Reef, and you mentioned it earlier, and it's kind of become emblematic of a dying reef. How significant is this? I know, you know, as a global symbol, it's very significant. But is it really dying? Can it be saved? Is there lessons to be learned?
Yes, we can still do something for the coral reefs. They are dying. This is a fact. Because of the global warming, because of ocean acidification, we know that the corals are bleaching and some of them are dying already. But we can still do something. There are some species which are more resilient, so maybe we can work with those species and plant them in those spaces. But what we need is a healthy environment to have those corals growing.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, it's been fantastic to speak to you. Thank you very much. And no doubt we'll speak to you again at COP27.
Thank you. See you at COP.
Thanks again for listening. If you are interested to help support this series and help expand the discussion around climate topics, then please do consider backing my channel via Patreon. It will help me produce more content, and you will also gain access to more expert interviews. It would be great to engage more with audiences too and understand your views on these topics.